We also stream online at cjsf.ca and listen to podcasts of our programs and our website.
Music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemon.
Good morning and welcome to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM. You're listening to Campus and Community Radio broadcasting from Burnaby on the unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem Nations. I'm your host, Nicole, and today I do have a bunch of interviews to share with you, along with two events that I want to shed some light on. If you are not aware, May 5th is the National Day of Awareness for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and Two-Spirit People. It is on this day that we remember the people who have lost their lives to colonial, gender-based violence and hold space for their families and communities that live daily with the grief of losing loved ones. If you are close to the SFU Burnaby campus, please join the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, the SFSS Women's Center, and the Department of Gender, Sexuality, and Women's Studies to honor Red Dress Day, in the reception area of the Student Union Building from 12 to 2. If you are on the Vancouver campus, you would meet at the Harbour Center lobby. And if you are at the Surrey campus, you would meet at the mezzanine of the Surrey Center building. And if you're unable to attend, there are other ways that you can participate. You can wear red on the week of May 5th to show your support and raise awareness. You can also hang a red dress in your windows to support women and families who are on the front lines fighting on a daily basis. You can also attend a Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and Two-Spirit People event taking place in other parts of the Coast Salish territories. There are some reports that you can read, and I'm going to include some ways for you to get access to that in the show notes. But you can read the final report from the National Inquiry on Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and Two-Spirit People. And you can donate to initiatives that support Indigenous women in our community, like the Downtown Eastside Women's Center, the Native Women's Association of Canada, and the Aboriginal Mother Center Society, just to name a few. I'd also like to add that if you are a self-identified Indigenous, First Nations, Métis, and Inuit student, staff, or faculty at SFU, the Indigenous Student Center will have a community care circle on Tuesday, May 5th, in honor of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women, Girls, and Two-Spirit Peoples. The community care circle will offer a space to rest, gather, and connect with community. During this time, students will also be invited to participate in activities like coloring or beading red dress pins. Indigenous clinical counselors Tanu Gamble and Jennifer Riandi, as well as Will River from the Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, will be present to support the circle and help hold the space with care and intention. This is a place for remembrance and collective holding, where words are optional and listening is just enough. Now, before we get into the first interview, let's listen to a track from Black Belt Eagle Scout, which is the solo project of Portland-based artist Catherine Paul, whose music draws from alt-rock and Native American traditions.
I look at Are you a fan of industrial and have been trying to find smaller artists? Have you only heard of Nine Inch Nails and are looking to get further into the genre? Maybe you're like that guy I met in my lecture who hadn't even heard of Linkin Park. No matter where you're coming from, Wire & Nerve is the show for you. 1 hour of all kinds of industrial, from Throbbing Gristle to Godflesh to Frontline Assembly and more. Tune in Monday 7 to 8 p.m. only on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby.
The annual Sled Island Music and Arts Festival is back June 17th to 21st, presented by Service Credit Union. Experience 5 days of music, comedy, art, and much more in diverse venues across Calgary, Alberta. Joining Sled Island's previously announced guest curator, Clipping, is English chamber folk ensemble, Black Country New Road, revered Canadian pop project, Homeshake, renowned abstract rapper, Billy Woods, LA synth punks, Sextile, fuzzy indie rock outfit, Feeble Little Horse, outlandish egg punk group, Snooper, lo-fi post-punk duo, Sweeping Promises, New York City-based ambient pioneer, Laraji, genre-bending dream pop artist, Salami Rose, Joe Lewis, and many more. Plus, there are over 150 more artists still to be announced. Check out the current lineup and get your passes and tickets at sledisland.com.
Hello, 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 and I am back. We just heard Black Belt Eagle Scout with My Heart Dreams on this Sunday, Wednesday morning. Super, super sunny out there, and I feel that the weather is warming up. I have been checking the weather reports, like the predicted weather report for the rest of the week, and it looks like it's going to be pretty amazing. I know that we went through some cold days at the beginning of the week, but it looks like today's going to be a good one. Now I have an interview that I am going to share. I recorded this interview on Monday with Fanny Kearse with Out on Screen. Let's take a bit of a listen. Hello, this is Nicole with CJSF 90.1 FM, and today I'm chatting with Fanny Kearse, Development and Communications Director with Out on Screen. So Fanny, hello, how are you?
Good morning, Nicole. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for being here with me this morning and making this invitation.
Oh my gosh, I'm so thrilled that we were able to connect. I just want to share with everyone is that I reached out to Fanny because I am signed up for the Out on Screen emails and recently received, not too recently anymore, but it's still quite recently, I received...
Yeah. It feels fresh, Nicole, let me tell you.
Right? So I get this email saying that Fanny has been appointed as the, you know, Development and Communications Director. And I know Fanny socially, so I went on the Instagram streets and reached out to connect and have a conversation. So again, thank you so much.
Thank you. How
is your morning going before we get into the things?
My morning is good. You know, the director role now calls for Monday morning organization and prioritization of tasks. So your girl is color-coded, you know, getting this to-do list on lock.
I am here for it. Okay, so some people might be hearing about, I've referenced Out on Screen a few times since I've spoke. They might be hearing about Out on Screen for the first time. Would you mind sharing a little bit about Out on Screen and like what drew you to the organization?
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you for asking. So Out on Screen is a nonprofit organization that has been in existence for 37 going on 38 years.
Wow.
And Out on Screen has two major programs that we put on in the community. So one of them folks may have heard of is Vancouver Queer Film Festival,
yes.
Which happens every September. Yeah, so this year it's September 10th to 20th in person. And more information will be coming soon about that. And then we also have a really amazing program called Out in Schools, which is programming and film education for youth, for all youth and for LGBTQ2SIA youth. And so the program, yeah, travels around to different community groups, to, throughout different school systems throughout British Columbia, and does these amazing, yeah, film presentations for youth. So yeah, the organization is just one that I'm deeply proud to be a part of. I feel like Out on Screen is one of the organizations that we see in community year after year doing the work and recommitting to doing the work and having these difficult conversations and what it means to build community and also to look towards a liberated future. And I have my own little special interaction with Out on Screen. In 2022, Naya Lewis, another amazing Black queer curator, creative in the city, invited me to an event that she was curating at Vancouver Queer Film Festival. And so it was a live poetry event with a film screening after that was a film that was created by a poet, by an author. Yeah, and performing there at the York Theatre that night, it felt like such a big life-changing moment for me, just in terms of how I like see myself in my own art. And so I've just, yeah, that was how I first became connected with Out on Screen and VQFF. And so I've just sort of had my eye on the work that they've been doing in community over the last year, over the last 4 years. And when this opportunity came up, it obviously was the right time.
It was the right time, 100%. It was the right time. And you talked a little bit in the beginning about, you know, like settling in because it has been a short time still. And how are you feeling? Like how, you know, what's the vibe for you right now?
It's one of like a lot of hopefulness and also that honestly, Nicole, of this like, I think deep grounding within myself, one part grounding, one part humbling, many parts, all of the other things that I'm not thinking of right now. But I really do see it as like an honor and a responsibility. And so I think I'm having a lot of moments of like pause and deep reflection and really looking at myself like, okay, like, am I ready for this responsibility? Yes. Can I handle it? You know? Yes. And so it's really nice to have this sea of people who are holding me in this way where they're reflecting back, you know, the things that I'm doing well and awesome. Gently encouraging the ways that, you know, I can grow and improve. And I take a lot of weight and responsibility with it also as, you know, as a Black person in a role of leadership. It's, you know, it's momentous for me.
Yeah, it is.
For my ancestors, I think. So I think about that a lot, you know?
I love that.
Yeah, it's special.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I'm so happy to hear your response on that. I think that sometimes when we get into other positions in life and nobody really asks us in the beginning, like, what's it like? Like, you know what I mean? How do you feel about it? We just kind of like get it and carry on. And so I appreciate that. And I hope other folks listening appreciate it as well. I do want to delve into a little bit more on the Out in Schools, because I know you referenced that. And I think that I was so excited to see that. And so could you explain a little bit, like, how do schools get involved Out in Schools? Do they reach out to you guys, or like, how does that work?
Yes, they absolutely reach out to us. So thank you for asking. Yeah, so it doesn't have to be like the head administrator of a school, obviously, you know, within those channels, the teacher would have to go through the proper
channels. Absolutely.
Yeah. But any teacher, any educator within the school system, like whether that's the public school system or within a private school, can access our programming. And yeah, you just go to the Out on Screen website into the Out in Screen tab, and there is a booking request form, and it goes through The different options of films. It categorizes things for different ages, for different amounts of time and length of programming. One of the things that Out in Schools has been doing that's so beautiful is we do these tours to more remote locations. So
oh, nice.
Some of our educators were just, yeah, in the Nelson and the Kootenays area,
nice.
Touring schools there with, yeah, with the Futures Queer Program. It's, yeah, it's just so, it's so beautiful. It's a really amazing, impactful program.
I love it. Now, you did reference the website, so let's plug it for the peeps so that they can make sure that they stop by and, you know, navigate through the site and see all the things that takes place. So what is the website again, please?
The website where you can find all of this amazing information, folks, is outonscreen.com.
Yay.
And everything is there.
Awesome. Now, and one couple more questions that I have is that you mentioned in the beginning about the Vancouver Queer Film Festival happening in
yes.
September. Are there any yes. other events happening up until then, or is that sort of the big thing?
That's sort of the big event that we're working towards. We mm-hmm. just wrapped on Cannes Film Day, which was a really
right.
beautiful event. Yeah,
I talked about it. I did. I talked about it on
okay.
one of my shows. Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh,
yeah.
awesome. Thank yeah. you, Nicole. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was a really beautiful evening. It was like very multi-generational. The documentary that we screened was screened. I think I said scream. Whoopsies. There was no screaming. The documentary that we screened was called Parade.
Yeah.
And it was this beautiful archival look into, just queer life here in Turtle Island in Toronto, mm-hmm. Kind of throughout the 70s and 80s. And it had this really beautiful interweaving about the Black Lives Matter movement in Toronto. And it's a beautiful film. You should, mm-hmm. if you can watch Parade.
Yes.
It's beautiful. So yeah, we just finished that event, which was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, definitely keep your eyes on our socials because if anything pops up over the summer or, you know, in conjunction with Pride, we will definitely post about it there.
Exactly. And in the show notes, I will definitely be putting the link to the website. I'll even put like the Instagram handles to make it easy for all and everybody. And that way, I do encourage you to visit the site regularly so that you can just stay up to date. Because, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You never know if things are, you know, can transpire before September. Yeah. Before I let you go, Fanny, is there anything that you might want to share that maybe we missed in our conversation today?
That is such a good question. I mean, while I'm here, while I've got you and the people, Nicole, I would be remiss if I don't mention that, we're always looking for volunteers.
Hey, you see what I'm saying?
And it's a really nice time and our volunteers are treated really well and get lots of cool swag and perks.
Yes.
So when you're looking at our website, definitely check out the volunteer section. And to that note, we also have a opening for folks to join our board of directors. So if you're looking to be part of an organization and volunteer in a consistent, ongoing way, we ask for about like 5 hours a month commitment.
Very reasonable.
But there's a lot. Yeah, it's very reasonable. There's more, all of the kind of the details, you know, all of the board requirements, the very official government, you know, things are on the website where you can read more in detail. But
yes.
I just wanted to mention quickly about, you know, boards and board work. I think that sometimes when folks hear that, specifically young folks, are kind of like, oh, you know, why would I want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
But being on a board has taught me so much about collective tending and how we actually work in communal collective ways to get work done.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a household where my mom and my grandfather, it was, you know, they always sat on like a board within the community. And it was, yeah, something, and it was so important to them. And so it was sort of just instilled within me. But I've had so many amazing experiences and interactions come from being on a board. And and just this sort of reciprocal way of relating to people and to work, it really helps create a more wide perspective of maybe, you know, this more collective like way of living, and that
Agreed.
the notion of Ubuntu, you know, of I
Yes,
am because you are. And I
absolutely.
think that's, you know, that's sort of what a board can intrinsically teach. And it's not just like some, you know, boring type of minutes and thing, you know, it's something that creates a lot of rich and sometimes provocative conversation.
Thank you. I'm so easy. That's why I always give that opportunity for people to
Thank
share
you.
something we may have never didn't talk about and whatever. And
Yes.
you know, I will put a little plug about volunteering because it is so enriching just in general. But if you feel that our conversation resonated with you, yeah, check them out. And you know,
Please.
yeah, absolutely. Okay, Fanny, thank you so much for joining me this morning. You know what I mean? I don't want to keep you.
Thank
I know you've
you.
got the things
Thank
to get
you.
into, but I am
I was just remembering, Nicole, I'll share this before we go for you and the
please.
folks. One of my mentors last week was telling me, and I mentioned the to-do list at the beginning of our conversation. One of my mentors suggested to me last week that I call it a ta-da list instead of a to-do list. So,
I love it.
ta-da!
We're literally doing
Let me
jazz
get to
hands,
my
guys.
task. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, such a pleasure, Fanny. Thank you again for joining me.
Yes.
I appreciate you. And again, thank you, listeners, for joining us and hanging out
Love
and, you know, listening to our conversation on CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish territories. Again, that was my conversation with Fanny Kearse. We had such a great time. Fanny Kearse is the Development and Communications Director with Out on Screen. One thing that we didn't chat about was their upcoming spring fundraising campaign. Out on Screen is currently running a spring fundraising campaign aimed at raising about $20,000 or more to support their year-round programming, including the Vancouver Queer Film Festival and the Out in Schools program, which is such an incredible program. I will definitely be including the website link for Out on Screen, just plugging it once again. It's outonscreen.com. And then there are not only are there going to be areas where you can find out about volunteering, there's also going to be areas about being a direct board director, and then there's going to be areas of how you can donate. So again, that's outonscreen.com. Now, I do have another interview that I am going to be sharing in just a hot minute, but before I do, I want to talk about another event that's happening next month. This event is called Black Public Joy, a special literary and cultural gathering is happening. It's just actually called Black Public Joy, a special literary and cultural gathering. And so it's happening on May 11th from 6 to 9:30 at the SFU Gold Court Center for the Arts. I will include information with regards to the address and all of the things. But here's a little bit about the evening. It's going to include a live reading from Black Public Joy, followed by an audience Q&A and a broader conversation grounded in civic, cultural, and spatial dimensions of public joy. The gathering includes live music by Bukola, which I have interviewed on a few shows, and Bukola is awesome. And there's going to even be a live hair braiding ritual, and there's going to be a recognition for Jesse Hemphill, who is a local elder featured in the book. There are currently 50 spots left, and you can use the code PITTER when registering. I will definitely include a link for registration in today's show's notes, but you can again search the Google Streets. Just search for Black Public Joy, a special literary and cultural gathering. Now I'm going to get into some music again before I play another interview. So let's start off with Emily Scott Robinson with The Time for Flowers.
With a heavy heart and miles left. left to go when I came upon a woman in a field on her knees, singing ancient songs and sowing wildflower seeds. Tell me, what's the point in planting pretty things in these days of darkness and disease? The world is burning. Have you not heard? And she smiled and said, honey, I've lived long enough to learn. The time for flowers will come again. Maybe in 1 year, maybe in 10. There are days despair will win, but the time for flowers will come again. Stores. The storms will rage and the winds will blow, and you are gonna find out that you're stronger than you know. And the time for flowers will come again. And when I woke up this morning, something deep had shifted.